Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome into the Inside Carolina podcast. This is the Scoop, UNC's premier football recruiting podcast. I'm your host, Ross Martin. As always, I'm joined by Donnie Scoops Callahan, live from suburbia, USA. What's going on, man?
Not too much. As you know, I did some traveling. We'll talk about it a little bit more later on in the podcast, but I actually went to Virginia.
Wow.
And you and I have talked about before, so this is not news to you. I did a little bit of research, headed to the Old Dominion State, and my research told me that there's going to be a lot more restrictions as far as masks are concerned, but that research proved wrong. Once I actually got to Virginia, kind of felt like at least the area I was at was far less restrictive on masks, or far less people wearing masks than in my area. What has been your experience? Is it particularly considering that you did some traveling yourself, went to the coast?
Yeah, you know, you always know how to bring in the listeners with your just riveting starts.
Well, this is what everybody is talking about, though, right? I mean, this is all over the place.
I went to the coast, went to Morehead City, Beaufort area down east, and no one was wearing masks. I went to the Big Rock tournament for a little bit. Actually saw Tommy Ashley there. Shout out Tommy Ashley.
Did you get his autograph?
I did not. During the Big Rock thing, I was kind of down there to see if, you know, Michael Jordan was going to catch another fish. He ended up not catching a fish. I was there when he had one. They had one hooked out there, but the hook.
What's the situation with Michael Jordan? I mean, does he have bodyguards? Can you get close to him?
I mean, I didn't see him, but from what I tell, I mean, he was probably had a couple guys with him, but he was with a crew of fisher guys that had that boat, fishermen.
Okay.
It was his boat, I think, and, you know, they pay an entry fee to enter this Big Rock thing, and then, you know, he's probably not doing the fishing, and he's not doing the driving, but he was there. I never saw him, but down in Morehead City, man, down east, no one was wearing a mask, a little sketchy, didn't spend too much time around there. It was cool to see. You were in Kernsville for the Javari Ritzy commitment, then you went to Virginia. Let's get into the podcast here. We're going to start with a little update on Jaden Chalmers, the 2020 UNC cornerback signee. His plans for enrolling at UNC have changed. We're going to get into your time in Kernsville on Friday night for the Javari Ritzy commitment ceremony. We're going to talk about your time in Virginia with Tony Grimes and a lot of Tidewater area recruits. And we're also going to bring on Javari Ritzy. That's the big interview. We're going to have Javari Ritzy on, UNC's new four-star defensive lineman commitment for interview. We'll close with our top five and maybe get to the weekly scoop as well. First, I want to tell you and make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Inside Carolina podcast. That helps us get get more eyes and ears onto our podcast. Rate it, review it, give us a five-star rating. Tell us how great we are. Tell us how much you love Don, and submit that wherever you listen to your podcast. And this podcast, of course, is brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Okay, let's get into it before we bring on Javari Ritzy. Don, Jaden Chalmers, update on him. The floor is yours.
Yeah, so he signed with North Carolina as part of the prior class, and he will not be enrolling in the next, I guess, few weeks like a lot of the other incoming freshmen are because he's going to spend at least one semester at Fork Union Military Academy prepping. You know, he didn't meet academic requirements in order to enroll at UNC, and that's why he has to head that route. For those who have followed recruiting for a long time, you're familiar with this because UNC used to do this all the time. Actually, it's been a long time since UNC has done it, but you typically, if a guy doesn't qualify or doesn't meet the admission standards, they would go to either Fork Union or Hargrave or Milford. Mm-hmm. Hargrave no longer has a post-grad program, but that used to be the one that UNC would lean on the most because it was the closest. So the hope, at least from Chalmers's perspective, is to get his academics in order and then be able to enroll at UNC in January. And so obviously, if you followed his recruitment, we did a long emotional, if I can say, scoop. Wow. Inside his commitment, where just him and his dad kind of broke down just how much of a dream it was for him to play at North Carolina. And so for him not to be able to make it is kind of sad. What was your impressions, your thoughts when you kind of heard that news?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. I mean, think about how excited someone is to get to college and to join a team, to be part of this group. He's probably been interacting with all these commitments and they're all excited about getting to campus. And I mean, it's really the next part of your life and you kind of look forward to it all through high school. And to get into your dream school and get that offer and play football with a program that's on the upward trajectory, and then to have that taken away or postponed, that has to be tough. So see what happens with Jaden Chalmers. I mean, do you what's your take on him having a shot to get into UNC? Anything on that?
It's just North Carolina hasn't had a whole lot of success in recent years. You know, like I said, the last time that UNC placed a kid at a prep school was James Summers and Monte Taylor, who was back in the 2013 class that they would have been part of, and they both didn't qualify, and UNC hasn't really messed with prep school kids since then. The one thing I'll kind of add, which kind of adds to the tragedy of this situation, was and I actually spoke to Jaden, I guess it was about a month or so ago, and he was spending some time with Ray Rose in Belmont, just kind of stay in the Charlotte area, because a lot of those Charlotte area signees and recruits were meeting up together and working out, you know, because obviously with the pandemic, it's been kind of hard to find fields that are open and all that sort of stuff. So he was spending a lot of time with the other signees trying to prepare, and then it turns out he won't be able to enroll with them.
Tough. And of course, Jaden is cousins with Dez Evans.
Cousins and teammates, and they're super close. So, yeah, I mean, often during their recruitments, if I called one, the other was nearby, and they made a lot of visits together. So
we'll see what happens there. Jaden Chalmers going to Fork Union Academy instead of UNC to get his grades up, to get scores up, all that kind of stuff. We'll see what happens with him looking towards a January 2021 enrollment, but nothing is certain right now. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what high school James Summers went to?
He went to Page High School in Greensboro. Yeah.
He was really good at Page. They won a state championship that year. Yep. He committed to state, right? And then flipped to UNC?
Larry Fedora's. Yeah, because UNC didn't have a quarterback in that class, and that was Larry Fedora's big kind of steal of NC State.
And then he ended up never enrolling at UNC. I think he ended up at ECU.
Yeah, so after he left Hargrave, he didn't qualify, and then he went to a JUCO. God, I can't remember which one. Then yeah, he ended up at ECU, and I don't think he. I mean, I don't know really how much he ended up doing at ECU. I don't remember hearing too much about him.
He played a little bit. All right, moving on. Okay, you were in Kernersville on Friday night for the Javari Ritzy commitment ceremony. It was a pretty big deal. It seemed like a decent amount of people there. They had a whole setup with the tent and videos and presentations and stuff. I was following it literally from the beach. I was right on the coast there with my laptop under a shelter at a state park, waiting for the live feed to work. We'll blame you for the issues with the live feed. So let's paint the scene here. What was it like before we bring on Ritzy for this podcast? Let's get a quick look at what that scene was like on Friday night.
Well, it was basically his parents' wedding anniversary. So that's kind of part of it. But obviously there were a lot of his high school teammates and coaches and administrators that were there also. So his mom and his dad, who planned this and set it up, did an unbelievable job. There was an actual stage set up.
Yep.
They had great sound system. As you mentioned, a bunch of tents kind of set up to keep everybody out of the sun. Plenty of food, plenty of really good food.
What was the food? Let's get a breakdown. I know you
basically,
ate.
Basically, yeah. Well, you know, typically I don't feel comfortable eating in those situations, believe
okay.
it or not.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was talked into it by Javari's dad. So I did have a burger. It was basically, you know, barbecue food, burgers, hot dogs. They had some fried fish. Ooh, you know,
any sweet treats?
They did. I didn't try any though. You know, I'm in work mode there. So my mentality is completely different. Whereas when I'm not in work mode, I'm searching out the donuts in proximity. So,
dude, part of work mode for me is eating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Continue.
So yes. So, great music, as people kind of commented about from, those who kind of watched the podcast before Javari took the stage, and really emotional sort of setting. And we'll talk about that with Javari, but, him and his mom are really close and they've been through some things. And so I think this was a moment that kind of hit both of them emotionally. It was really, you know, typically when you have a lot of people speak before a kid actually announces, it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
They say a lot of the same things, but this, you kind of felt it, you know, me being there, his mom was very emotional about everything. And I don't think Javari anticipated being so emotional, but being up on that stage and then after hearing his mom speak about him and what they've been through and everything like that, it really kind of hit him. And we actually have the video of it. So if you weren't able to watch the stream live, we have a high definition video up on Inside Carolina. So definitely check that out.
Yeah. So, and also, I mean, check out the commitment story, the Q&A for the premium subscribers, the commitment video. I did an analysis piece talking to Barton Simmons and Steve Wiltfong and Clint Brewster, who are scouts and recruiting analysts for 24/7 Sports National. But that was a really good story as well, not to brag. So tons of content if you want to go back and check that out for Javari Ritzy. What happened with the live feed?
So we're still trying to work those kinks out. We've only done a handful of them so far, and there's a lot of variables that are involved, and we get better each time, but obviously there's still...
Just a matter of like Wi-Fi and having a good connection. Is that it, you think?
I mean, I have an idea of what it is. I don't know for certain, but I don't know if, you know, our listeners really care.
Okay.
They just want it to work.
I think people enjoy inside the biz a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
You don't know how things work. Okay, great. And let's, before we bring on Ritzy, let's preview the top five. We are going to do a top five at the end of this podcast, top five holidays, the next top five for our listeners to submit their responses. Part of the community we're building here on The Scoop is going to be, this is a good one.
Family. We're a family.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to include you in my family based on just genetic stuff.
Well, I figured the way we could view it is you and I are a same-sex marriage and all the listeners are our children.
All right. The top five for next week or the next time we record, will be the top five most important players for UNC football for the 2020 season. So, you know, handle important however you want to take it. And actually, we're going to exclude Sam Howell. Sam Howell is out.
I think it's important because I think everybody would have him number one.
Yeah. So, other than Sam Howell, the top five most important players for UNC's 2020 season. It could be defense. It could be offense. You know, there's different ways to look at this. You know, maybe the guy who scores the most touchdowns is not necessarily the most important player because you got to have offensive linemen, defensive linemen. So, take this however you want to take it. Top five most important players. I'm excited to see that as we kind of get into preview stuff for the 2020 season. We're ramping that up as well on Inside Carolina. Okay, so we're going to have Javari on here in a bit. We're done with that. We're going to get into your trip to Virginia, talk a little bit about Tony Grimes and any other scoops you got from players up there in the Tidewater area. Pretty cool you got to go up there because you interacted with Grimes and with his dad. We're going to talk a little about your weekly scoop, and we'll recap the Ritzy interview. And we'll get into the top five. So before we bring on Ritzy, I want to talk to you about Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. They are Inside Carolina's loyal podcast sponsor. Very local, you know, great customer service. We interact with them a lot on Twitter and in person. and they've supported us for years now. So we want our listeners to support them. If you are going to buy UNC gear, make it Johnny T-shirt and JohnnyT-shirt.com. And for UNC, for Inside Carolina premium subscribers, head to the message board and get that 10% off discount code on the UNC basketball message board or the Tar Pit football message board. 10% off your purchases, get a hat, get sweatshirts, get T-shirts, get your gear for the upcoming season for Olympic sports. They have soccer jerseys. They have just tons of stuff. When you go to that store, it's chock full with Carolina blue and you know, navy blue and white, any color you want of Carolina gear. Johnny T-shirt right on Franklin Street in Chapel Hill and online at JohnnyT-shirt.com. Okay, we are going to bring on Javari Ritzy here shortly. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with the UNC five-star commitment. Four-star commitment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back on the Scoop, Inside Carolina's premier UNC football recruiting podcast. We have a very special guest. We are joined by four-star defensive lineman out of Glenn High School in Kernersville, North Carolina, Javari Ritzy, UNC's newest commit. What's going on, Javari?
What's going on? Nothing much. How are y'all?
We're great. We're great. We got Javari here. Just woke up, and he had a big workout yesterday. We're going to dive right into it. Don, first question. Here we go.
Yeah, so obviously, you and I saw each other not too long ago at your house, and you had a ceremony. You know, nowadays with the pandemic, you know, when you want to do an announcement, you have to do it in your backyard because schools are closed and everything. Your mom did an unbelievable job. How much were you involved in the actual planning and setting up and everything?
Well, the whole thing, actually.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's because she was like, what are your thoughts about things like? Like this idea, and I was like, well, we should just run with it. Like every idea she said, I just went with it. So after that, hey, look, we had a great turnout. So, yeah.
So as far as you, I don't know if this was planned or not. So tell me if it was. It got really emotional up there, more emotional than I can remember ever. So tell me, tell me about that. What kind of, because it seemed like it did catch you a little bit off guard. So
yeah.
What was it? What happened that kind of just hit you and everything?
Well, I guess I got really emotional because I was just really like giving God thanks and just tears of joy about everything like he got me through. And so I was like, wow, like this is really happening. So I just started crying out of nowhere. So I was like, wow, this is crazy. But
how much of it was listening to what your mom said? Cause she kind of started it off with getting pretty emotional.
I guess you could say that started it, but like in my mind, I'm like, wow, this is really happening. I just started crying, like tears of joy, because like, wow, it's crazy.
Yeah, and so just the intro, Javari here a little more. You know, Javari is ranked the number 142 in the 24/7 Sports composite, number 12 strongest side defensive end, number 7 player in North Carolina, but higher ranked by 24/7 Sports, number 63 nationally, and joins a stacked UNC 21 class that now has 16 commitments and is ranked number 5 in the nation. So your commitment to UNC, you know, you have been a guy that's on UNC's radar for a long time. And can you kind of go through, you know, the process from, you know, when you got the offer from UNC and your recruitment, and then ultimately we'll get into kind of why you picked UNC. What was your recruitment like? And just open floor to kind of discuss how your recruitment was.
Well, with UNC, I think I got UNC's offer January 26th, I believe. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But then after that, we just started taking off and just started communicating every single day. Like, I don't think I missed a day without communicating to them or talking to them. Because like, even during sophomore year, they would reach out to my coaches and they'd be like, hey, tell Javari to call us. And I would call them and we would talk for at least 30 minutes or longer, like every single day until I committed. And after I committed, I talked to everyone even more now because it's like we're family now. So it's like why not? So I just really enjoy getting recruited by them because they do a great job.
Who are the major coaches you talk to?
to be honest, I talked to every single one. But really, I talked to four. I talked to Coach Longo, Coach Jay Bateman, Coach Tim Cross, and Coach Matt
yeah.
Brown. Yeah.
Yeah. So your area recruiter, your position coach, the defense coordinator, and the head coach, and then
yeah,
I mean, big time recruits, you get the whole staff involved. I'm sure you heard from most of the guys. Yeah. Just kind of show the love there. Okay, so then what kind of, you know, you're getting recruited by a lot of big-time schools, you know, a lot of big-time offers. What kind of change that made you prioritize UNC and make them ultimately the choice?
I would really say UNC stood out more because of the consistency. Like, they talked to us, like I said, every day. And they would just show us, like, all the facts and real facts. And I was like, okay. Then we would go and look them up, and everything would be true. So everything they told us was, like, not fake or not fake news or anything like that. And they never, like, I guess, how would I say this, faded away from talking to us. They never stopped talking to us. Even, like, some days when my phone would stop working, they would try to find a way to reach out. Like, they'll call my mom and be like, call him or call us, like, through her phone because my phone would stop working. And so that just – I was like, really? Like, wow, like, they really want me like that. So I was like, okay, then I'm going to keep pushing it. You know what I'm saying? Keep pushing it. So it finally clicked for me that I'm going to UNC, I'd say, about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I see behind you, you have all your letters. I see a Georgia letter, UNC.
Yeah, I have a few of them up here right now.
Yeah.
I may take them down. They're all around my room.
that's really cool. How crazy is it? You know, you're a high school kid, and how crazy is it to have all these big-time coaches, big-time programs recruiting you? Was it kind of weird? Or
I wouldn't say it's weird. I'd say it's pretty dope because not everyone has this opportunity. So I got to, like, you know what I'm saying? I can't take advantage of it and just be like, oh, yeah, I got this, I got that, I'm better than you. No. And for me, I would find a way to help out other players that don't have the same thing. Like, I say, like, the younger kids on my team, I'll try to get them looked at by some of the coaches. Like, I'll tell the coach about this player or that player, and they'll, you know what I'm saying, they'll get in contact. They'll just start trying to, like, I don't know, build a relationship with them. Or if not, they'll just keep working towards something to get it on their own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, Don was recruited for ballroom dancing, so he had a similar experience, but just a different kind of sport.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how much schools really will come after you hard for ballroom dancing.
Yeah.
Okay, one more thing for your on your recruitment here. So obviously you had a good relationship with the UNC coaches, and they were calling you, and they were recruiting you hard. What about UNC as a school, as a team, as a program attracted you kind of outside of obviously the coaches and what you liked about Mac and company?
You know, I really enjoyed it. Like, every time I would go up for a game or something, it was just live. And so after, like, every game, I would just have that feeling like this could possibly be home. Like, I would talk to, like, Gavin Blackwell. We were at the game one time. He was like, home. I was like, home, ? And home, he kept saying it. And he just kept saying it. And I think it was like a week or two later. Well, I say a couple months later, he finally committed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, like, he was actually being for real about this. And so I started looking into it because I was like, I really do enjoy UNC. And so after that, I finally realized, God finally told me, after I would pray a lot, he finally showed me that UNC was the place for me. So I just went with it.
Your recruitment, because of the coronavirus pandemic, was unique. Mm-hmm. You had a plan on visits. You actually, I believe right before the NCAA instituted a dead period, you actually had a couple of visits to North Carolina, I think one to South Carolina, a couple other schools scheduled that got completely wiped out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was it like kind of having to basically hit – you were at a point where you were getting close, I think, to getting a grasp on your recruitment, or you had a grasp on your recruitment, but what was it like kind of having to – hit the reset button and change gears on how you wanted to approach your recruitment?
I wouldn't really say it affected me because all the schools that was in my top five, except Ohio State, I visited. So I've seen everything about the school. So I was like, nothing really affected me.
So do you regret not having the opportunity to visit Ohio State or maybe even making some return visits other places?
No, I don't.
Okay. No. Did you... You know, and this is so hard to answer right now, but if not for that dead period, when do you think you would have made your commitment?
I probably would have done the same date. Like, I probably would have done June 12th. Same. Because okay. I planned all my visits before June 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was probably going to take officials, like, I don't know, I say May or something.
Because
mm-hmm. that's what I had planned on doing. But I just didn't, like, really put it out there that I was going to do it like that. But mm-hmm. I had planned on doing it. But, yeah, I would have probably done the same day. Yeah, either that date or my homecoming for football.
Gotcha.
Which I was like, that's kind of too late. So I was like, let me go back to my original date that I had set for myself last year.
Mm-hmm.
Around this time, I had set last year, like, let me go back to June 12th.
And June 12th, of course, for those who are listening and don't know, is your parents' wedding anniversary, which is important to you. So at what point did you, I mean, you said it, obviously, I think in May, I think you said June 12th. But mm-hmm. when did you start to kind of look at that date as a potential announcement date?
Well, like I said, last year around April of of 2019, because me and Micah Crowell, we were best friends, and we would talk about our days of when we're going to commit. We were like, let's commit around June, because we both like the month of June. Like, his mom's birthday is June 2nd, and my parents' anniversary is June 12th. So we just was like, let's stick with those dates. And we actually had those dates from last year, and we just stuck with them. But we didn't really say anything. We like made it like, oh no, we'll do it on this day. But really, in our heads, we knew what day.
Now, Crowell is a wide receiver who's committed to NC State.
Yeah.
What's that like now, having a best friend who's committed to the rival?
I think it's cool because it's the same high school, you know, because Glenn and East are rivals. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I think it's cool, you know.
And the last thing I wanted to ask you about is your college coaches had to change gears with the pandemic. There's a lot of, I guess getting creative with Zoom calls, which wasn't as prevalent beforehand. Mm-hmm. What were some of the things, I guess, that you were dealing with that coaches were kind of throwing? Did you do a lot of Zoom calls? Were there any virtual visits or anything different than there were that didn't exist prior to or you weren't doing prior to?
Well, I'll say the Zoom calls is different. I mean, I wouldn't say it was different because at one point in time when I did visit UNC, like say UNC, I met with all the coaches at one time. So it was a Zoom call we had. It was all of them at one time. And we just finished off of what we had started the last time we met all together. So I wouldn't really say it was different. But I say Ohio State was different because they did a virtual visit for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the coaches and staff. We were like, okay, this is pretty dope. But it's not like in person. And it's not, so we can't really like get the feel for, is this really the spot or something like that?
What is a virtual visit like for, you know, most fans have no idea what it is.
It's basically like a tour of the campus, just not in person. Okay. You're just looking at it through the screen. I don't really like it, but at the same time, you got to do what you got to do because of just all this stuff that's going on. So I think it's cool, but at the same time, I don't enjoy it because you're not, like, really there to see it in person because that feeling has a better – it's, like, different than looking at it through the screen because it's like, okay.
So is it essentially somebody at their football facility holding up a phone and kind of walking through while they're on a video call?
No, they already had, like, I guess they already had it prepared of like mm-hmm. all the different like pictures and stuff, pictures, videos of just each room or each thing they have to offer at the school. So, yeah.
Great. Don, you have any more questions there? I think you had 10 in a row.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ross.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into the 2021 class that you're mm-hmm. now a part of, you know, loaded on mm-hmm. both offense and defense. When you look at it, and obviously you know a lot of these guys, what are your initial thoughts on this class? And then we'll get into some more particulars.
I would say we're going to win a national championship because we have literally, every top in-state guy. Except Evan. I wish Evan would have came, but it's all good. But Will and Micah. But I think it's pretty dope that, I mean, we still have some great players on the team. Like, everyone is a great player. Like, I can't really, like, say no one's not good. They're all good. So – I think we're going to win a national championship if we just keep doing what we're doing.
Are there a couple guys that you know better than others that stand out to you?
I know Caleb. Me and Caleb talk a lot. Me and Power talk a lot. Me and Gavin talk a lot. Let's see, Keyshawn. Right. Well, I talk to everyone about the same. I can't really say no one's like not close with me because we're all.
Did Drake May have a role recruiting you?
He did. He would call me every day. He sure did. But I think I was actually honored that he would call me every day because it's like who else would like do something like that? You know.
Yeah. So like, when you look at
they all did, but. I think it's pretty dope. My fault. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Nah, you're good, man. You're good. So okay. You look at the defensive side, and I think this is very exciting for UNC fans because in the past, you know, with under Larry Fedora, it was very offensively centric. Now UNC is getting a lot of really, really talented defensive recruits. Keyshawn Silver,
yeah,
yourself, Ra Ra. You go down the line, Power Eccles, Gabe Stevens. The list continues. You know, what do you kind of think about the defense they're building combined with last year's recruiting class, which included, I think, you know, four or five really, really good defensive linemen as well.
Mm-hmm. I think it's nice because now we got we have a whole bunch of D linemen.
Yeah,
we're gonna be fresh on the field, so I don't really think it's gonna be a struggle for us. But our linebacker system is pretty dope. We got some fast, strong guys. Same with our DBs. Our DBs are pretty good as well. So yeah.
Great. You're up, Don.
Okay.
Sorry.
You look at the great cooperation we have here, teamwork we have.
Yeah.
So you actually mentioned this a little bit. Speaking of teamwork, you mentioned this about trying to, I guess, help your teammates get some exposure. You obviously play with Ra Ra Dilworth, who's a four-star guy committed to North Carolina. So everybody who's listening to this or watching this should know about Ra Ra, but your defense is actually pretty stacked. You have some FCS guys who are some of the top FCS recruits that are pretty good. And then also, from what I've been told, North Carolina actually is really interested in Albert Red, who's a 22 guy on your defense. What can you tell us just about some of the other guys on your team?
Other guys on the team are some dogs. Like, I can name every single person on the team. Like, we'll say we have a rising sophomore. He's about 6'1", 250. He's a D lineman. He's pretty tough. His name is Josh Nolan. He's going to be a dog. He started as a freshman last year. Messiah Baird, our corner, he's a dog. He will come down and hit anything. And he's fast, too. Let's see. We got Kedrick Green, dog. Jahad Scales, he's going to be committing soon, July 3rd. He's a dog too. Our linebacker core, Albert Red, Rainieria. Let's see, we got a rising sophomore. My little brother is even behind them. Let's see, Jamel Craig Blakely, he's a dog. He's coming back to the defense, to the dark side. We're gonna have some fun. Like, he's a dog as well.
A lot of dogs.
Everyone's on that defense. Yes, a lot.
Yeah, no rough cats on this team.
No. We're gonna have a dominant defense this year.
Rough, rough. Yeah. Okay, so to kind of close this out here, you know, I don't know how comfortable you are talking about yourself, but what do you think you bring to the defensive line? You know, what kind of play? What have they told you about what you can bring? You know, where are you gonna play on the defensive line, and what do you think are some of your best attributes as a defensive player?
I don't know. I don't like talking about myself. Let's see. I don't know. I guess a monster. You know.
Yeah.
Great athlete. I don't really like talking about myself. It's kind of weird.
Okay. Well, ask me this: Do they want you to line up outside or inside?
I'll be at the DN position, so I'll say the 5 technique. Okay. At some point in time, I'll probably be standing as well.
Yeah, as you add more weight, maybe move inside and be a really athletic guy inside. Is that kind of what they showed you?
Well, they said if I add more weight and still be as athletic as I am right now, I can still play outside.
For sure. Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Your weight right now?
I'm at 265. I actually dropped weight since the last time I was at UNC.
Yeah.
But I picked up a lot of muscle.
There you go. And you're a track and field guy, and you're the shot put. Can you kind of like break down, you know, how you think that helps you and kind of what it's like being a shot put guy? Because I don't know.
I'm also a runner as well. Okay. I'm on all the relays. Yeah. All the relays we have, I'm on every A team we have. And I'm actually one of the fastest runners we have. Besides Ra Ra.
Which is, yeah, extremely impressive for those who don't follow track. I mean, to have a guy your size in the running events is just, I mean, you must stick out like a sore thumb in track meets.
So, because we got Rara, he's fast, and then we got me, and we got a couple of other guys that's pretty fast as well.
Which races do you do on track?
I do the 4x1, the 4x2, and the 4x4. Or possibly if we don't have any like relays for a meet, I'll probably either end up doing the open 200 and the open 400.
Wow.
And that's just like individual runs?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so shot put, what does that bring? What do you think the shot put brings to your game? Like, how does that kind of impact your strength and flexibility and technique for stuff for football?
Well, I say shot put is a technique event. You got to have strength, but like, it's really about a technique event. So if you had the technique, just having like just every technique you got or whatever you need for shot put, it can help out with the DM position, like turning and stuff, having the hips, you know, just moving your shoulders, and it's a whole bunch of stuff that can like really like translate to the DM spot. At the same time, it can go to the shot put. So gotcha. Yeah,
cool. And then one more question for me: what was Jay Bateman like as a recruiter?
Funny, he was a funny person, but at the same time, I enjoyed him recruiting me because he never was like down. He was always up. He was always like happy. He would always tell me funny jokes and stuff like that to just persuade me to be like, yeah, this might be my coach right here. And now he is my coach because I enjoyed him recruiting me. So, yeah.
What about Phil Longo? What was he like?
Oh, man. I enjoyed him and his family. Actually, that's the same for all of them. I enjoyed all their families because all their families enjoy talking to me because I wouldn't even just talk to the coaches. I would talk to the wives. Like, I would talk to Coach Mac Brown's wife, Miss Sally. Coach Longo's daughters, they enjoyed me and stuff like that. Coach Tim Cross's wife, his daughters, they were pretty dope. They're all just great people.
Yeah.
And so that just helped out with recruiting me.
Tim Cross is an electric personality. We had him on a Zoom interview a couple weeks ago, and he seems like an awesome person.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
All right, Don, do you have anything else for Javari?
No, I'm just really appreciative for him to come on, and definitely thank your mom. Well, thank your mom for your help as usual. She's so super helpful, a wonderful lady. You're very fortunate to have her as a mom. I'm sure it sounds like you definitely know that. But thanks for coming on.
And one more question, Javari. What was it like with Don covering your recruitment? How annoying was he texting and calling you? And
he was actually not annoying. I enjoyed Mr. Don. he's a funny and exciting person. So like every time I talk to him, it's pretty good.
Yeah, funny looking.
Yeah.
All right, awesome, Javari. We appreciate you coming on the Scoop, and we're looking forward to having you here in Chapel Hill in I guess a year or so.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right, man.
Thanks again.
We'll see you.
All right.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
And we're back following the Javari Ritzy interview on the Scoop. Here's the Inside Carolina podcast, presented to you by Johnny T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. All right, Dom, as you wrap up this podcast, what did you think about that interview?
I mean, it was what I expected from him. He's a great kid. Always has thoughtful responses. You're not going to get him to say who was the most impactful coach. He's going to say the entire coaching staff. I thought just – he paints a great picture to kind of just show what these recruits, the recruit community, you know, he's best friends with Micah Crowell, who's committed to state and obviously has a UNC commit on his team. And just kind of talking about just how he was recruited. And then also I found it interesting just going a little bit deeper into what life was like as a recruit during the coronavirus with all the extra things coaches were throwing at him. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, he seems like an awesome personality. Fun-loving, you know, kind of like seems like a very likable guy. Doesn't take things too seriously. So yeah, UNC's getting some good guys here so far. Okay, we got to wrap this up here. So Virginia, you're up there this weekend. Let's get a quick synopsis of your trip to Virginia and what you learned.
So I went up there, just for the backstory, went up there for a practice that I guess the area coaches put on, volunteer, of course, so it's not associated with any high school. And so a lot of the top recruits in that area were there at this practice. We actually, the practice was cut short by the police department there because since nobody was practicing social distancing, because that's impossible at a football practice, and nobody was wearing masks, the police department shut it down, which was interesting. I did not get arrested. Good news. But as far as Grimes, Tony Grimes, a five-star cornerback from Princess Anne High School in Virginia Beach is concerned, you know, he didn't participate in the practice. He actually had work that day. And
where does he work?
He works, his parents own like some sort of, I didn't get specific details, but they own some sort of boating business. And so he does a lot of the labor stuff on there, which I think is incredibly impressive, especially if you follow him or his father on Twitter, because this kid is always working out, always doing school-related stuff, and he's one class away from graduating high school. He could actually graduate high school in the summer, which kind of brings me to the first topic that people are asking about is, you know, he has mentioned the possibility of taking that one last class online and then graduating early, graduating this summer, and then enrolling at the school of his choosing in I guess, would be August. As of right now, it seems like that won't be the case because he wants to play his senior season with his teammates. The only way that he would graduate early and enroll early is if the high school football season was canceled. And as I said, it looks like that won't be the case. As far as where his recruitment stands, we had a full update with him earlier in the week. We're actually going to have a video interview with both him and his dad that we're going to post next week, which I urge everybody to be on the lookout for, where he goes, both him and his dad kind of give good perspectives on things. You know, I've been saying for a while, or I've actually been moving towards for a while, the fact that North Carolina is becoming the team to beat. And my position with that was just solidified by just kind of talking to him. It looks like you're blown away by that news. Five-star cornerback, the top cornerback in the nation.
I know. It's crazy, man. It's we're going to have a segment on Tony Grimes on every podcast. It is ridiculous. That's awesome. Good stuff. It seems like you're becoming pretty close to the family, which is a good sign for the Inside Carolina and all the subscribers that are lucky enough to read your great content from such a great guy. All right, let's wrap this up. You know, there's some stuff on the Weekly Scoop you can check out. We're kind of on a time crunch here. Nothing, you can go read it. And there's some stuff about offers during the quarantine. There's some stuff about other recruits that have been offered, things like that, and a little bit about your visit to Virginia. Let's knock out this top five. The top five for the next time we record is your top five. Top five most important players for the 2020 season. Top five UNC players for the 2020 season. Who you think is going to be most important, have the most impact. Let's go through holidays here. Don, how many submissions do we get? Top five holidays. Sorry.
Just six. Yeah, I'm surprised. Just six. All right.
Let's do two each and give our two, and we'll be out of here.
All right.
I'll start.
You want to get out of here quickly.
Well, I mean, I got bosses messaging me. I got stuff I got to do, and we had a little technical issue, so it ran longer than we expected. Not everybody can live the luxury life that you live with without anything to do all day. Okay. Start from the top here. Dale always submits stuff. We'll go with Dale from Waxhaw. Top to bottom five, Memorial Day. We get to honor those who died while protecting our freedom and the unofficial kickoff to summer. Four, Mother's Day. Get to celebrate my wife and mom for all they do and have done for myself and my kids. So sweet. Three, 4th of July, fireworks, grilling out in the pool. What better way to celebrate America? Two, Christmas. I love this because of my kids. Fun watching them get excited for the buildup and then Christmas morning. And then one, Thanksgiving. I like to eat, and this is my Super Bowl. Must-haves are turkey, collard greens, cornbread stuffing, sweet potato biscuits, and pecan pie. Dale, that was beautiful. What a good list and good explanations.
All right. I'm going to go with Brent from Gilbert, Arizona. One, because he's one of our further away submitters, and two, he just got in under the line. I just posted this one this morning. Number five, Valentine's Day. My daughter loves this one because it's my birthday. That's interesting. Number four, St. Patrick's Day, dressing in green and trying to find leprechauns. Have you ever found a leprechaun?
Can't say I have.
Okay. Number three, Christmas. Not big Santa fans yet, but definitely enjoy the presents. Number two, Halloween, dressing up and tricking people. And number one, Easter. This is interesting. Decorating and finding Easter eggs is still taking place in our house. Good self-isolating activity. The one thing I don't think that you'll be able to relate to is that when you have children, especially smaller children, a lot of holidays, it brings a completely different dynamic to it, especially Christmas when they're younger. So maybe once we get some little Rosses running around, we'll be able to experience that.
I can imagine being, because I was a child once, you know, you still remember that. Okay, my second one here. And also, was it John gave us an explanation for Tom Collins. I'll just do John. John from Charlottesville. His info from the last top five about Tom Collins. It's an old man drink. Tom Collins is a Collins glass cocktail made from gin, lemon juice, sugar, and carbonated water. There you go. All right, his top five. Five, my wife's birthday and Mother's Day on the same day this year. Yikes. My birthday often falls on Mother's Day too, Don.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
The more you know.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Four, May the 4th, Star Wars Day. Three, Easter, the most important holiday. Do you know why it's the most important holiday, Don?
Why is that?
I think for Christians, it's a high Christian holiday because that's the day that Christ rose from the grave.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah. But not the most important holiday for everyone because everyone believes in different things. And that's okay. Two, Christmas. He loves the Christmas with the gifts. Okay. And one, Thanksgiving. Christmas without the gifts. You don't lose focus on what matters. Interesting.
All right. I'm going to go Jim from Chapel Hill. Number five, Memorial Day, remembering family and friends who gave all. Number four, 4th of July, got to celebrate USA independence. Number three, Halloween, ghouls, ghosts, kids, and candy. Number two, Christmas, giving and sharing. And number one, Thanksgiving, all about family and friends together. Food.
Love it.
All right.
Some different answers we had. Ryan from Chapel Hill says Selection Sunday. I think that's a great answer. He also had New Year's Day. I was trying to think out of the box, so maybe I'll think of some things. All right, your turn, Don. Your top five.
All right, my top five. I definitely went outside the box.
Okay.
So
opening day is on there, isn't it? Philly's opening day.
It is not. Believe it or not, it is not. Yeah. So, all right. So you'll never guess my number one. Do you want to try?
Thanksgiving.
No. Okay. I'm actually not a big turkey person.
You're going 1-5 or 5-1?
I'm going 5-1.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Number five, New Year's Eve. You know, just celebration parties, good time with friends.
Not a huge New Year's Eve guy.
Wow. Really? So do you do something on New Year's?
That's kind of the thing. It's like it's always built up. So I try to keep it low key. And then if it's fun, it's fun. If it's not, you're not disappointed.
The other thing to it, which I think is a huge bonus, especially if you're a college football fan, there's a lot of bowl games, major bowl games, either on New Year's Eve or on New Year's Day. So you don't want to party too hard on New Year's Eve because you won't be able to wake up and watch the game, especially since some of those games start pretty early. All right, number four, Halloween, you know, candy is the big thing. We have established a routine here that we kind of have a couple of the neighbors come to our garage and we kind of give out candy together and have some alcoholic drinks and we'll have the TV on and some music and all that sort of stuff. So a little tradition we started in this neighborhood. Number three, 4th of July. I have this on here. When I was growing up, my grandparents had, relatively speaking for the area, because I grew up in Philadelphia, they had a lot of land, an in-ground pool. They had enough land for like a volleyball game and also for wiffle ball and all that. And it was a huge event to where, you know, it was almost like a family reunion. And then, you know, family members would invite friends. I mean, there would be literally hundreds of people. I used to always look forward to it every year, but then once my grandparents got a little older, they stopped having it. And
what was that? What holiday was that? Sorry.
4th of July.
Gotcha. Sorry, I missed the first part. I was curious.
Yeah, so it'd literally be like a full day event, lots of sports, lots of, I wasn't allowed to drink, but lots of alcoholic drinks, lots of food, lots of different types of food. It always a blast. Number two, Super Bowl Sunday. Another thing, tradition we have is we've been having, I invited you actually, and you declined, having friends over, a little Super Bowl party here in the Mann Tower.
And, you go up top for that? Up top?
So it's both. So it's up top. Usually right. What ends up happening is the guys up top and the women stay down downstairs in the kitchen. But usually once you know how
That was super offensive. That was super offensive.
Hey, that's my wife who makes things very divisive in the household when we have guests. Okay. You can take that up with her.
For those who were not listening or didn't hear that, Don said the guys are up top watching football and the women are in the kitchen.
We have football downstairs also, but they're super barefoot offensive. And pregnant also. But usually a lot of people end up leaving after the halftime show, and then everybody usually ends up in the Mann Tower. So anyway, number one, can you guess it yet? You'll never guess it.
Is it opening day for like freaking hockey or some shit?
Nope. Daylight savings. It's the only day.
Father's Day.
Father's Day is, you know.
The donuts.
You do get donuts, although I don't know if I'll be allowed donuts this year, but we'll see. But daylight savings is the only day, is the only magical holiday that can give you an extra hour of sleep. You can't get there on Christmas. Nobody can give you an extra hour of sleep for Christmas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't dress up like an extra hour of sleep for Halloween.
You know what is silly is that you didn't even include National Signing Day, which is literally the biggest holiday for your life.
Well, you know how this is, though. I mean, I'm sure that your fandom has changed now that you're covering sports. So for me, Signing Day is a major work day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But when I worked in 24/7 sports headquarters, I mean, the food for that day was unbelievable. Morning, lunch, snacks, dinner, because we're there the whole day. I mean, I would work. I'd get there at 5 a.m. because of Central Time. 5 a.m. wouldn't leave until 8, 9 p.m. because you had to switch all the commitments. This is early stage 24/7 sports. We didn't have team riders for every site, so we'd have to switch every class to committed, to signed, you know, go through every class, get all the stuff in. So it was pretty crazy for the food.
And Buck Sanders throws a blast for Signing Day also. It's a lot of fun. But that's not a whole day thing. It's usually what's around 11 or 12. And you can have lunch. Hickory Tavern has hosted the past couple of years.
Yeah,
great event.
We got to talk about the food on that. I got a couple suggestions if Buck's listening. Okay.
Does listen.
I know. Well, I have some suggestions. You know, we're always want to get better and be better and change and do stuff like that. All right, my top five here. Okay, I made some changes here last second, so I'm going to try to do it on the fly.
You included daylight savings, didn't you?
No, I don't. That is important to me. I want to wake up early and better myself by working out, not sleeping and be lazy like you.
Sleep is important.
It is. Okay, we'll go number five. I'm gonna go five is going to be July 4th. Okay?
Why?
Summer and you like things that you said. I mean, it's just like you get on the water. I like to do things on the water. So you get out, maybe boat, canoe, kayak, tube. It's hot. It's kind of everybody's in a good mood. It's just the weather's nice. There's so many pauses around July 4th. There's no gifts. There's no like, you know, things you have to do. It's kind of just a chill summer day and everybody gets it off.
You don't like to give.
That's right.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay. Four, I'm going to go college football Saturdays. Okay. I love that feeling, you know, get a workout in early and you kind of have the morning to watch game day. I get a little work done. You're kind of enjoying it. It is a big work day once UNC starts playing, but there's just a buzz in the air. If you're in Chapel Hill, it's exciting. It's just, you get, you know, six or seven home games. And then I just love watching football, whether I'm home or at a game. So college football Saturdays, it's a different feeling in the morning. I don't know if you have that feeling too.
Yeah, you get the brisk air.
Sometimes,
you know. Yeah. So no, I'm with it.
There you go. Okay, so that's four. We'll go three. I'll go Christmas.
Okay.
I love Christmas. You know, many things that make it such a joyful holiday for kids is it's why I enjoy as well. Christmas carols, lights, gifts, family, you know, spending really good time with friends and family in your hometown, I think is important. Everyone's home for that usually. As you get older, it changes a little bit, but always been a big Christmas guy. Okay. And two, I'm going to go the first weekend of March Madness. So that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, nothing better.
I agree.
And it has changed now that I cover a team. You don't get to watch as many games because I'm always, except for this year. Well,
my perspective is different because I don't cover it. So yeah. I absolutely love it. And I was really looking forward to the Man Tower during those days, but I was robbed of it by the coronavirus.
And honestly, UNC fans might not like to hear this. I was looking forward to it more than ever because UNC wasn't going to make the tournament. So I was going to be able to watch, you know, do the class thing, two TVs, you know, watch all the games. That Thursday, Friday, and especially
come to
Saturday,
the Man Tower.
Yeah, it might have been a possibility, but we'll never know. I used to take those days off from work when I had a normal job, those Thursday and Fridays. I know a lot of people do that as well. I want to go to Las Vegas for it one year.
Me too.
Yeah.
Mandate, Las Vegas.
Maybe for my bachelor party. I don't know if you'd be invited to my bachelor party. Okay, and number one, classic Thanksgiving. You know, it's like someone mentioned, it's Christmas without all the stuff that makes Christmas maybe a hassle. Just football, food, chilling, literally wake up, eat, sit on the couch, watch football, chill, hang out. And then, like, a lot of friends are in town as well, so those couple days are nice. I've been away for the last couple Thanksgiving. I've been covering UNC basketball. So I've been in Portland for 2 years ago. I've been in Las Vegas. I was in Bahamas this year. And I think I'll be in Maui next year. So I'll be 4 Thanksgivings, not been with my family.
So, well, other than those Thanksgivings that you've been away, do you get into the early Christmas shopping on Thanksgiving?
Rarely. Black Friday?
Black Friday, yeah. But now it's become where people are going out on like 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, that's kind of a suburban thing, so I imagine you do that, right?
We come up with a plan that usually has us waking up early on Friday, or maybe just my wife. But we've done things where it's like midnight and I drop her off on the, you know, right outside a store and pick her up. And we've done it where we actually mapped out the store ahead of time.
You're a caricature of a suburban family. Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody has their own path. All right. That's it for us on The Scoop. Hopefully you enjoyed the Jhavari Ritzy interview, little intel there at the top of the podcast, and the conversation between me and Don on the top 5 holidays. Thanks for listening to The Scoop.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.